It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
A high pop-up! He's going to do it at shortstop. Jeter on the outfield grass makes the catch. The Yankees win. The Yankees win. And Doc Gooden pitches a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
The Fan, Lori Rubenson here with you. The Mets beat the Pirates on Sunday and one more game on Monday in this series, but the Mets back to 500, and the game on Sunday, one of those games that felt like it would have been, you know, as I was watching the ninth inning, I was thinking, this has the potential to either be a great win or just a gut punch loss. And to talk about the Mets, their all-star selection, the upcoming trade deadline, all things Mets, we bring in Tim Healy from Newsday. Hey, Tim, how are you?
I am excellent, Lori. How are you?
I'm doing well. Let's start with this all-star selection, which
sure. Yeah,
the All-Stars announced the reserves on Sunday night. And Pete, I had seen a lot of places where the debate for the Mets was, should it be Francisco Lindor as the Mets All-Star, or should it be Brandon Nimmo? And it seemed like the debate was between those two players. And then the announcement comes out, and lo and behold, it's Pete Alonso. And it took me about a half second to say, ah, I see. The commissioner of baseball needs eyes on the home run derby, and the only way Pete will participate is if he's an all-star. He said that. Is it pretty clear that that's what this is about? It's not a meritocracy at all. This was about just gaining eyeballs for the home run derby.
Well, if for anybody taking that approach and drawing that conclusion, I'm not going to talk you out of it. Pete Alonso is having a good season, a fine season, but relative to his norm, it's a down year so far. And he's not the most deserving first baseman, statistically. And he's not the most deserving Met. You know, Christian Walker would have been a better first baseman. Lindor or Nimmo would have been better choices as Mets. So, the home run derby thing does seem like it got factored in. Because Alonso was not voted in on the players poll. He was a choice of the commissioner's office. So MLB was rounding out the all-star rosters and thought, this is the guy to represent the Mets.
Yeah, and look, it's a business decision. This is an entertainment exhibition. I get that. But if I were the players, I don't know, I'd be a little bit annoyed about that. I know ultimately what matters is the team's record and team success. Had you been hearing any talk amongst Mets players and expectations in terms of who would be the All-Star and thoughts in terms of Lindor, Nimmo, or Pete Alonso?
Not really. I did ask Nimmo about it the other day, and he was comfortable saying, as he should be, that he thought he deserved it. He was actually sort of surprised when a week ago he did the player poll, and on that form they list the leaderboards for OPS, WAR, home runs, RBIs, etc. And he saw himself at that point third among National League outfielders in wins above replacement, and he thought, "Wow, I actually have a chance." And now he's second among NL outfielders in WAR, and but no luck. So I wasn't really a topic of conversation. I think there was surprise after the fact that neither Nimmo nor Lindor were chosen. It seemed like Carlos Mendoza was almost at a loss trying to, figure that one out. But it is what it is right now. Injury replacements are definitely a thing. We know that Mookie Betts, for example, won't be playing, so some other infielder will need to be picked. Fernando Tatis Jr. won't be in the All-Star game, so some other outfielder will need to be picked. So there will be opportunities yet for Nimmo and Lindor, but we'll have to see where MLB falls on that.
Yeah, just a quick scan of the top 15, top actually even 19 players in Major League Baseball in wins above replacement, which for those less familiar means, you're including both offensive and defensive stats in that performance in that. And there's only one player in that top 15, top 19, who is not an all-star, and that's Francisco Lindor. So, take it for what you will, but I thought that's interesting on that. All right, let's get to the team, though. And the game on Sunday. And let's start with, I thought it could have been a devastating loss to go ahead and then have Edwin Diaz, in only his second game back from the suspension, come in and give up the lead in the eighth inning, blow the save. If they had lost that, it felt like it would have been one of those games that feels worse and sets in, our topic of conversation would be, are you worried about Diaz and without sticky stuff and should we be worried and all this sort of stuff? And now he pitched well on Saturday. He came back in the ninth inning and pitched well on Sunday. It felt like one of those games that is a fulcrum, has the potential to go really badly or be one of those games where now you say, wow, this plucky team and put together all those good at-bats and come from behind two outs in the ninth inning. So let me put it to you and say, out of all the at-bats that contributed to success in the eighth and ninth inning, when I ask you what stands out the most in this game?
Which at-bat for the Mets led to the win, you mean?
Which stands out? And I know it's tough because they're, so it's just your personal preference in terms of there were so many good at-bats. What do you think of first?
Well, the at-bat that I dedicated the most words to in my game story for Newsday was actually the Iglesias walk right before Francisco Lindor's game-winning hit. Mets had put the first two on, and then Vientos and Torrens struck out, so they're down to their last out. It's Iglesias against Chapman, down to their last strike, and Iglesias, just the plucky little utility infielder that he is, fouls off a couple triple-digit fastballs and eventually gets ball four. And that was a big, big moment because it not only got Lindor up, it pushed the tying run to third base, but it drove up Chapman's pitch count. And eventually, on the 35th pitch of the inning for Chapman, Lindor came through. So the more pitches you make a guy throw, the more likely he is to eventually make a mistake, and the Mets finally got that. I completely agree with your take that it would have been a gut-wrenching loss had it ended that way. But as soon as the Mets fell behind, I thought, oh, well, now the Mets get to face our oldest Chapman. This game is not nearly over. So I do give the Mets a lot of credit for that comeback, and I give Diaz a lot of credit for bouncing back and making it look easy in the ninth inning because, as you said, coming back from the sticky stuff suspension, there was some uncertainty there about what he would look like. But now after two appearances in 2 days, I think a lot of those qualms have been quelled. And there is more certainty there now. He's looking a lot more like regular Edwin Diaz.
And with that Iglesias walk, which was a huge at-bat in that game for all the reasons you're saying, I think you may have this in your story. I apologize that I've been on the air. I haven't had a chance to read your story.
That's all right.
I will read it tomorrow. But I am a Newsday online subscriber, so I will be able to read your story tomorrow, but or later tonight. But I saw a quote on somebody was mentioning it on social. It sounded like Francisco Lindor had some comments about Iglesias and calling him a brave man after the game. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. Well, Lindor's point was that Iglesias was brave because he's about 5'8", and Chapman is much, much taller than that and throws really hard. And he was just standing at the plate, staring him down, yapping a little bit, and Chapman was doing a lot of the same. Those guys go way back to about a decade and a half ago when they played against each other initially in Cuba's top professional league as newly minted professionals, young adults, 18, 20 years old. So there's quite a bit of history there. They know each other very well. And with the game on the line in a very tense situation, they seem to thoroughly be enjoying themselves even in that stressful moment. So that's what Lindor was talking about, how much Iglesias and also Chapman seem to be enjoying it. And that's good. That's fun stuff, you know?
How much, with Iglesias, you know, here's a guy who had been out of the major leagues, playing in the minor leagues, could not find a team, you know, to give him an opportunity. It's not like the Mets were so wise and had him on the roster opening day.
Yeah.
Desperation leads to, you know, I don't know, I guess is I'll paraphrase, the mother of invention on some level. And so the Mets are forced to get creative, and they call him up. And what has his presence, Jose Iglesias, meant to this Mets team? And at this point, with what we're seeing from Jeff McNeil, is there any reason for Iglesias not to be the day-to-day starter at second base?
Well, he's meant a lot to the Mets. And I think even if you took the statistics out of it,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For a moment, there is value to what Carlos Mendoza has come to love about Iglesias. The energy he brings and the way he influences the team in sort of these intangible ways. Yes, he has a song and they play that after every win and it's a lot of fun and they rally behind it, blah, blah, blah. But also just, you know, running out ground balls and avoiding a double play in the ninth inning of a lost game and small moments like that show something, I think, to the rest of the team in a long season that, you know, some guys are just happy to be here. And when you're just happy to be there, you know, there are moments that stick out because that guy's trying more, putting in more effort, let's say, than a guy who's just going through the rhythm. As far as second base, it's tough. It's tough because I have to believe still that Jeff McNeil is better than this. Jose Iglesias has been playing virtually every game against left-handers, which I get. It's basically a platoon right now. But if the Mets did play Iglesias more, including against right-handers, for a little while, I would get that. That said, I would fully expect Iglesias to just cool down eventually. So if they wanted to ride the hot hand, fine. That's totally reasonable. But overall, Jeff McNeil is a better player, I would say. I'm still comfortable considering McNeil the better player.
Yeah, although I will say the joy of watching defensively the double play tandem of Iglesias and Lindor is something that is just really fun to watch.
Yeah, that has always been Iglesias' thing. And even a decade plus into his major league career, he is still quite smooth out there. So the chemistry in the middle infield between Iglesias and Lindor is obvious. They really seem to enjoy playing with each other, next to each other, in a way that Lindor and McNeil just never really have.
Right, yeah, rat, raccoon, whatever. Never quite took there, and you can see the chemistry with these two guys. Have you talked at all to J.D. Martinez about his slump? I know players don't like to talk about slumps and how they're doing, but is this just... baseball is a hard game, and it's 162 game season. These things happen.
I'm willing to call it that. Yes, the only thing J.D. Martinez really has said about this downturn was the other day in Washington when he did have a big hit, and he got asked about what had been an 0-for-12 stretch prior to that, and he said he didn't even know about the 0-for-12, and I wasn't inclined to believe him, so. It's a bad week. You know, I don't think the Mets are making too much of it. I wouldn't make too much of it. So it's just, he'd been really good for a while, and at this moment, he's not. So it doesn't seem like too big of a deal right now.
We're talking to Tim Healy from Newsday about the Mets. And when I look at this Mets lineup, so yes, they're getting contributions from guys like Iglesias and Harrison Bader. And Luis Torrens, you know, some other guys, role players, which is great for the Mets and their success. But there are some holes, and with Marte still on the injured list, DJ Stewart has just been bad for a long time. At some point, do you expect the Mets, what's going on with Luis Angel Acuna, and do you expect at some point for the Mets to look for another option in the minor leagues?
I think if they had a better option in the minor leagues, they would have gone in that direction already, because you are correct that DJ Stewart has been not very productive for quite some time now, in addition to being limited defensively. Tyrone Taylor also has been not very productive at the plate, but he at least can play all three outfield spots pretty well, so his roster spot should be secure.
And then Jeff McNeil, look, I like Jeff McNeil the way they've been using him. You know, when you showcase the super utility versatility, he can play a corner in outfielder if they had wanted to bring up a guy like an Acuna.
Yeah, you're right. But if the Mets, I guess the thing about Acuna is he's not actually having a good season. He's been better since it got warmer. He had a pretty solid June. But even his solid June was not setting the AAA world on fire. So he has a lot to prove still in the minors. He is playing shortstop, second base, and center field, moving around. There's definitely value there as far as eventually trying to carve out a major league role. But right now, if you put him in the majors, he'd probably just get eaten alive because his OPS is under 700.
Mm-hmm.
He is well below league average in the International League.
Mm-hmm.
Stolen bases is one of his big things, but his success rate this year is just not in line with what you want to see from a true base stealer. So Acuna has got the skill set. He's got the last name, but I don't think anybody really considers him ready yet. But if he was ready, I think the Mets would have done that because DJ Stewart can be optioned to the minors as far as I remember. So, you know, they wouldn't really risk losing him if they wanted to keep him for organizational depth or anything like that. As far as other options, I mean, they let Trace Thompson leave the organization. They called up Ben Gamel when Starling Marte went on the injured list. So, you know, they don't really think any of these guys are better than what DJ Stewart gives them right now, which isn't a whole lot aside mm-hmm. from a walk here and there.
Yeah. All right, turning to the bullpen, and especially as we look ahead to the trade deadline and think about this team's needs. Well, first is on a positive note, what did you see out of Jose Buto this weekend and what he can do or mean for the bullpen?
He can mean a lot for the bullpen because he, you know, you always need a couple guys who can cover multiple innings. And a lot of times those multiple inning guys tend to be low leverage mop up types, but Buto could do that in close games, and there's a lot of value there, especially with the Mets, who tend to get shorter than preferred starts from their rotation. The Mets see Buto as a starting pitcher still long term, but you know, I would not surprise me really if this became sort of a Seth Lugo situation where he's just so valuable in the bullpen that they kind of have to leave him there because you don't want to take him out. He's had two relief appearances so far. He's looked strong, you know, going 5-6 outs at a time. He can go more than that if they needed him to. It's something he's still adjusting to from a routine and rest and warm-up perspective, but they'll figure that out as they go along.
What else do you expect the Mets and David Stearns to do about the bullpen, let's say, short-term between now and the trade deadline, and even with the trade deadline? Every team needs bullpen help, so it's going to be super competitive to get help. How aggressive do you expect David Stearns to be?
In the lead up to the trade deadline,
In the lead up with maneuvering with this team, and then at the trade deadline.
I think in the lead up to the trade deadline, they're going to keep doing what they have been doing, which is looking for guys who can contribute a little bit. Remember, Reed Garrett started the year in the minors. Denyel Nunez not only started the year in the minors, but wasn't even major league spring training. That's how off the radar he was. And now those are two out of the top three relievers that the Mets have. So if they can find another diamond in the rough like that, then they'd be in a lot better shape. They like Eric Orsi, the two-time cancer survivor who they called up from AAA Syracuse a couple of days ago. He's going to get a look. Today, they acquired a left-hander named Matt Gage from the Dodgers for cash. He is in AAA, and by virtue of being a left-hander, is probably going to get a look at some point because the Mets have one left-hander, Jake Diekman, and he has an ERA of 5. So the Mets could stand to have other options there. But it's these waiver claim, fringe roster, minor league guys who deserve a look sort of situations. In the interim, and then come trade deadline, we're going to have to see which direction the Mets go. Because for all the pluck they have shown, for all the stick-to-itiveness and hot streaks, they are a 500 team. And they haven't really shown definitively that they deserve upgrades. So depending on their play over the next 2 or 3 weeks leading up to the trade deadline, David Stearns is going to be able to decide. Buy, sell, buy a little bit, maybe do a little bit of both. But you know, like you said, every contender is going to be looking for bullpen help, and the Mets are not really in a position to pay any sort of significant prospect price to improve the 2024 team. So it's going to be really, really interesting how David Stearns and company thread that needle come July 30th.
I'm going to predict some buy and some sell, and sell with some of the extra starting pitching, and maybe that'll be a way to get to some of that bullpen help. We'll see. Tim Healy from Newsday does a fantastic job covering the team. Appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you very much.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.